true. Amen. Someday we're going to walk on streets of gold. Think of that. I'm going to just take my shoes off and kick the gold dust around. Amen. And I can't wait for that. That's good. Amen. I told my Sunday school class this morning that I've heard different preachers say how they want to die and go to heaven. I heard of a preacher, he wanted to drown in a vat of gravy. Is there anybody out here today? Y'all are sleepy, amen. You know, when you say gravy in Oklahoma, you should at least get one amen, amen. But I tell you, I told the audience, my Sunday school class this morning, when I die, I want to preach a sermon. I want to see somebody get saved and then just fall right over and go to heaven. That wouldn't be a bad idea. Now, I'm not saying today, amen. I'm talking a long time down the road. But, man, what a way to go, amen. Either that or eat myself to death with butter pecan ice cream, amen. One of those ways, yeah, cheesecake ain't a bad idea either, amen. But you know, the truth is there. We're going to be walking on the streets of gold forever and ever. Boy, what a thought. What a thought. Amen. Thank the Lord. Take your Bible, please, and go with me to the book of John and chapter number 5 in God's Word this morning. The book of John and chapter number 4, if you would. Not 5, 4. We're going to begin with verse number 39 in this passage of Scripture today. John chapter 4 and verse number 39. Follow along this morning, please, if you would, as I read this passage of Scripture. The Bible says here, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went into the feast. Now Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we ask your help and your blessings, Lord, as we open the Bible and preach on it this morning. I pray that, God, you take the word and use it in each one of our lives. May, Lord, your presence and power be real in this place today. Thank you, Lord, as that song said, that one day we'll be walking on those streets of gold. We'll be touring that city. And thank you for that wonderful promise that we'll be there one day. And Lord, I ask your blessings, Lord, as we open the Bible this morning. Teach us thy word. Give us hearts and minds to hear it, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. the passage of scripture that we just read, it begins with the story of the woman at the well who had gotten saved. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus met her at this well that was there in Samaria. Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. I can't speak this morning. You help me, all right? I got to pull whatever that is out of my tongue. It might be hair from my new beard. I'm not sure, but I'm going to pull that out of my tongue today so I can speak well. But Jesus was here in this Samaritan woman. I believe she trusted Christ in this passage of Scripture. I believe she got saved, and there was no doubt in her mind that she was talking to the Son of God. Now, it's really interesting because, by way of introduction to the message this morning, it's interesting because the Samaritans had a whole different religion than the Jews did. And actually, Jesus was teaching them the way, the truth, and the life that both most of the Jews and most of the Samaritans rejected. So by Jesus going to Samaria here and afterwards into Galilee, he was not going into comfortable places. He was going into hostile territory. But Jesus knew he needed to go through Samaria. You know, I think there's times in our lives when the Lord tells us to do something that may not be easy for us to do, but, you know, there are times when we must follow the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever he says. Amen? And that's what Jesus did. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He sees the woman at the well there. She trusts him. But then she does something interesting. And that's where the passage that we read today starts. And that's where it picks up. The woman then goes into the city. And she starts telling everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she goes around and she says, now, everybody come and listen. You got to hear this man. This man told me everything I had done in life. And what she was saying was, is there's a man that knows everything about us. There's a man that knows all of our life. And I want you to come see him. I want you to come talk to him. She says that many came and many talked to them. And notice verse number 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now, I want to give you some thoughts about this passage this morning that I trust God will work in our hearts about. And the first thing I want you to notice is that one woman made an amazing difference. One woman made an amazing difference. She trusts Christ at the woman at the well, and she can't keep quiet about it. Amen. She says, I got to go tell somebody. I have to go let somebody know about this man. He is too great and too amazing to remain quiet about. I've got to go and tell somebody about this man that told me everything I've ever done. And you know what? They came and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. They came and they heard him, and they heard him speak, and they heard him teach, and they heard everything he said based on the testimony of this one woman. Praise the Lord. You know, I think it's amazing how God uses ladies in life. I think it's amazing. I think it's wonderful how God can take this woman and change her life literally around and make her a witness for God. Make her a changed vessel, somebody different. And you know, that happens because she had living water inside of her. Christ came into her heart and her life. She opened her heart. She opened her life. And by the way, we have to open our heart or he can't come in. But she did. And she went around telling everybody, everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank the Lord today for the ladies who have a testimony for the Lord. In that workplace where you go, and I think it's wonderful. Some of our ladies have invited people from their workplace and have come. Miss Marilyn back there brought Miss Glendola to church one day. What a blessing. Glendola brought Glenda, and then they brought Bill. There's a few dogs in the house too, so we might have a little bit extra coming next Sunday. I'm not sure. Amen. And they started coming to church. It's just amazing how God can use ladies. Now, I want to tell you something. Men, we don't have the exclusive rights on testimony for Jesus. We don't. Ladies, thank God for you. Thank God for all that God uses you to do. But you know what? It's only because she opened her heart to God too. She opened her heart to God. God, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't even matter whether you're a man or a woman. What really matters is that whoever you are, you open your heart up to God. And you let God have his will and his way in your life. She did that. She did that. There's a second thing I want you to notice. Is that she created a thirst for others to know Jesus. She created a thirst for others. Now, I have a funny story, and I'm going to put it in right here because it fits right here. But when I was growing up, my sister she was going to make dinner that night. I think she's probably 16 or 17 years old, and she was going to make a quiche. Now, I can't even spell that hardly, but she was going to make a quiche. And I said, "What's a quiche?" She said, "You'll find out." So she cut it, and she made this quiche. It looked like a pie, you know. And she cut it. It looked pretty good. And you ate it like a piece of pie. I said, "Oh, we're having pie for dinner. That's good." I was probably 13 at the time. And we had this, and we started eating this quiche. And man alive, it wasn't 2 bites into it. My mouth became a flaming inferno of heat. I said, "What in the world did you put in this?" She said, "Well, the recipe calls for 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper." And then she said, "But I accidentally put 1 whole tablespoon of cayenne pepper into the quiche." I said, "If this is quiche, count me out. Amen. No more French food. Let's stick to hamburgers, hot dogs, and apple pie. Amen." But you know what it did? It created a thirst in me. Amen. I was going for the water. Woo! Loaded down. Going for the water. That's kind of a ridiculous illustration, but that's what this woman created. She created a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think Christians ought to be the kind that create a thirst wherever we go. Wherever we go, we should be like salt and light. And you know, one of the things that salt, the characteristics of salt is it makes you thirsty. And you know, I think we ought to live our lives in such a way so that people thirst. They thirst for the Lord. They're hungry for the Lord. And there's this woman, she walks through Samaria. Hey, everybody, come and hear about this man. Told me everything I ever did. And boy, it created a curiosity and a thirst. Really? Tell me more. And she began to tell them, and they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. Thank God for those who create a thirst in others. Now, can I remind you that the Samaritans weren't favored by the Jews? The Jews called the Samaritans dogs. That's what they thought of them. There was no love lost between a Samaritan and a Jew. But Jesus went to the Samaritans. You know why? Because he loved them. Can I tell you what? You cannot escape the love and the focus of God. God is interested in you and your life. Yes, he is. You say, well, I don't feel it. You may not feel it, but he's still interested. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The psalm writer wrote. God, why do you care about us? I'll tell you why he cares. Because of the great love wherewith he loved us. That's why he loved us so much. So much that he sent Christ to die for us, no matter who you are. You know, I've talked to people. I'm a preacher. I talk to a lot of people. And I've talked to folks sometimes who say, you know, preacher, I can't get saved because, man, there's a lot of things that have gone on in my life. There's a lot of things in my past. And preacher, I don't think I could be saved. Can I tell you what? God looks past all the past and looks into the heart of man and says, you, I created you. I made you. You're mine, and I want you back. I want you to come back to me. That's what the word redeemed in the Bible means. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He says, now your sins and all that, I can take care of that. And he did on the cross. But God said, I'm interested in you. I care about you. Years ago, there was an Englishman who was traveling in Rome. He was on the lookout for treasures in Rome, anywhere he could. He went to untrodden paths of the average tourist. He went to this place and that place. And one day, while lingering mid some ruins in an old palace, he noticed an Italian peasant anxiously examining a little stone rescued from the ruins. Drawing near, he became interested. And he offered the man $5 for it, which he promptly accepted. The Englishman took it to his room and he examined that stone the best he could. He was convinced that it was of real value, and he took it to an expert who found upon examination that it was the world-famous imperial topaz, which had once shone in the crown of Caesar Augustus. At that time, it was worth $250,000. For many years, its beauty and its worth had been covered by dirt and filth, but it was still a precious jewel. Can I tell you, that's how God looks at people. Maybe years of difficulty and dirt and filth have covered you, but God still looks at you as his precious jewel. He looks at you as a precious jewel. Thank God for that. Jesus goes to the Samaritans here, and he doesn't treat them like dogs like the Jews do. He loves them. And guess what? The Bible says that some of them come to him. Some of them trust him. And some put their faith in God. You know, not everybody does that. Not everybody puts their faith and trust in Jesus. You know, there are people that reject the Lord. I find today, as I talk to people, most people just don't have time to talk about the Lord. And the truth is, they just don't make time. You know, I mean, we're so important doing things. I mean, we've got to get on our phone. And we've got to enjoy this. We got to go here. We got to go to Walmart. But many don't have time for Jesus. He's interested in them. But yet, so many are not interested in him. Oh, what a sad condition. What a sad condition it is. One of the reasons for this mission trip is because I learned recently or several months ago that there were many, many villages in the area that we're going to be going to. Many villages, they have never had a gospel witness. There's over 400 villages where nobody has even touched them with the gospel. It's hard. It's difficult to get in there. You got to walk through jungles and swamps to get to many of these these places, there's no roads, but there's people back there. And God looks at them as precious jewels that need his saving grace. He did that with the Samaritans here. He loved them. But you know, Jesus made a point here about something about them that I want you to notice in verse 41. And it says these words, and many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Can I tell you what? You may know a lot of people that know Christ, but that's not good enough to get you to heaven. You have to receive Christ yourself. You have to believe on him on your own, yourself. You can't get to heaven on, someone once said, God doesn't have any grandchildren, just children. You have to be saved on your own. You have to come to that decision personally. You know, as parents, we were raising our kids, and as our kids grew up, we prayed they'd get saved, whether at church or vacation Bible school. And I thank God all of them at some point have trusted the Lord as their Savior. What a relief to us as parents to know they've willingly made that decision to trust Christ. But I'll tell you what, it had to be their own decision. It had to be their own will that trusted Christ. They couldn't get to heaven because their dad's a preacher or their mom's a pastor's wife. That doesn't do good. I'll tell you what does do good is when they recognize they need Jesus themselves and put their faith in Christ. If you're here today and you're trusting and maybe hanging on to somebody else's coattails, and maybe grandma and grandma was a good Christian, and maybe you're hanging on to her coattails, I got news for you. Grandma knows you need to trust Jesus yourself and open your own heart up to Christ. Some believe, not because the woman said it, but because they saw Jesus themselves and they heard him themselves. Oh, how great the news it is to know we need Christ on our own. The story ends here in Samaria. And Jesus now goes to Galilee. And you know, this is the place where he grows up. And this is the area he's familiar with. And people know him there. And you know, the Bible says that a prophet is not without honor in his own country. And it kind of means that, you know, everybody in that place remembers you when you were that bad little boy throwing stones at their house. And when you were doing all those things, you know, that boys shouldn't do that they did. Yeah. And then you go back and preach to them. And you've got a hard task on your hands because they don't picture the preacher. They see that little boy throwing stones at their car. And they see that. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here, you know. But so Jesus goes into another place, Galilee. And he's telling them that he is the way. He's the truth and the life. And they come here. And what's interesting here is when he comes to Galilee, it's backed up by the Passover. And many of them had seen what Jesus had done and the miracles that he wrought there. And they went back from Jerusalem to Galilee. Well, Jesus went from Jerusalem to Samaria. And now he joins many of those people in Galilee. And here he says that when he's in Galilee, the scriptures tell us that there was a man, a certain nobleman, in verse 46, who has a son that was sick at Capernaum. Capernaum is located on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. And he has this sick son, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, would you come and heal my son? Jesus looked at him, and you know, it's funny because Jesus didn't say, sure, I'd be glad to. He was glad to, but he made a statement before that. Verse 48, look at it. It says, then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, why did he say that? Well, because Jesus knew that that was the mind of the Jew. The Jew had to have some kind of sign. Set out a fleece or some kind of sign before he would actually believe Jesus. But Jesus said it to find out where his faith really was. Was his faith in some sign? Or was his faith really in the person of Jesus? So he said, except you see any signs and wonders, you're not going to believe me. But the man said this in verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. What an interesting transaction of words that goes on here. If you don't have a sign, you're not going to believe. And the nobleman said, I don't care about a sign. All I know is my son is sick. All I know is he's going to die if you do not come. You see what he was saying? He was saying that, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you and I'm putting my faith in you. You are the one, you're the object that I believe in, not some sign, not some wonder. And that was unusual for Jews. But he said, I'm trusting you, Jesus. I'm putting my faith and I'm putting my trust in you and you alone. And when I do, I know that God will take me to heaven. God will heal my son. You know, that's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for faith. In fact, the Bible even tells us when he returns to earth, he's going to be looking for faith in the earth. And will he find faith in the earth? And this is what Jesus said. He said, all right, I see your faith, so your son lives. The man had a need for Jesus and nothing else. You know, there are times in life when life's going good, right? Job's going well, the boss isn't on our back, things are just going okay. The car's actually running for a little while. The kids aren't sick for a little while, and we got caught up on the bills. So let's actually go out and have a steak dinner tonight. You know, those are times in life that are pretty good, amen? Those are good things in life, and life is like that. But I'll tell you what. Then there are times in life when there's only one great need in our life, and that one need grabs a hold of our attention. It grabs a hold of our mind. You know, this man was there in life. He was a nobleman. He was doing well. Life was good. But he had one great need. His son was sick, and he needed Jesus to work in his life. He needed Jesus in his life. I want to ask you, who do you need in your life today? Who do you need? Is it all the things in life? Where just to do fine, if we can just do fine and get along in life and everything's going good, is that really what matters in life? I think sometimes God takes all that away from us in life and puts us in a difficulty. We don't like those things, but they're to get us to focus and put our heart and our mind on the Lord Jesus. That's what they're for. And this nobleman, he didn't care about anything else. He said, I need you, Jesus. I need you. Oh, listen, hear me. There may be a lot of good things even going on in our life. There may be some bad things going on in life, but I want you to know something. There is no greater need in our life than that we need the touch of Jesus in each one of our lives. We need him. But nothing else mattered to the man. He needed a Lord. He needed the Lord. Can I say next that Jesus, when the man found Jesus, he knew Jesus alone could be trusted. I think the rest of the story is interesting. Verse 50, Jesus says, "Thy son liveth." The man then departs, and he goes home, and he sees one of his servants. And the servant says, "Hey, I wanted to tell you, your son's alive. He's doing fine. He's healed." And this nobleman's thinking, "Well, I wonder how that happened. Maybe he just took a bad spell and his immune system caught back up and now he's doing okay. I wonder how that happened." Have you ever battled those kind of thoughts in life? Was it really God that did this, or was it happenstance? Was it a coincidence? Did things like this happen just out of the blue? So the man looks at his servant. He says to him, "So tell me, what hour did the boy get better?" He said, "It was the seventh hour. The fever left him." That was the exact same time Jesus said, "Thy son liveth." And what it did was it put this faith into the Lord, this father, because in verse 53 it says the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed in his whole house. See, he knew then that he could trust the word of Jesus greater than any sign, than any gift that's given. Can I remind you and tell you, this book right here is going to be the very thing and the only thing you and I can put our trust in. Amen. It tells us exactly what God's going to do in the future, how things are going to happen, what's going to happen when you die. And I want to tell you something. You can put your trust in it because Jesus said it. It's true, and it's not going to change. And the only thing we must do is understand that it is the words of Christ himself, and that his word is true and good. Amen. Someone may be skeptical about Jesus' word, but when they put it to the test, they'll find out that Jesus' word is good. And it's true. There's an evangelist who visited a man in an area where they made pottery. Who in his younger days, this man was a bad guy. The people looked upon these amazing vases. And he remarked, "I suppose these things are very valuable." And the man said, "Oh yes, they're very." So he said, "How much would you sell them for?" Shake of the head, the man turned to the questioner and he said, "No monetary money in the world would tempt me to part with either one of these." He said, "You see, years ago I was running from God. I was a drunkard. I was a gambler. I was one who sold my own soul to the devil. And one day I was persuaded to come and attend a revival meeting. I did so. And upon going home, I passed a rubbish heap, a pile of garbage, and there I saw a little piece of clay. Evidently, someone had thrown it away as being useless. But I picked it up and I took it home. I kneaded it. I molded it. And then I went to the wheel. And out of that worthless piece of clay, I made those two vases. And I thought to myself that if God could do such a thing as that, then God could do that with me too. And thereafter, I placed myself in his hands and my faith and my trust in him, and he made me as a new man." Oh, I'm glad that Jesus takes us from clay that sometimes is discarded, and he picks us up and he puts us on the wheel and begins to mold and fashion us and make us like him. Oh, hear me today. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord with your life. You can trust the Lord with your children. You can trust the Lord with anything in your life. You can trust the Lord. You say, those are big claims, preacher. Yeah, but you know, God tells us to prove him. He tells us to prove him. He tells us to put him to the test and try me and see. God wants us to prove him. And when you try him and test him, he'll prove faithful to you. I wonder, maybe there's somebody here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Maybe somebody listening today. Maybe you're trusting religion, or maybe you think you're good. There's two kinds of people, think they're good, and then some think they're too bad. Both are wrong. It all depends on what God, Jesus the Savior, does in your heart, in your life. And he can save anybody, good or bad. We all are in need of a Savior. And I wonder, maybe there's somebody here today who say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. Or maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you have a need in your life. Can I remind you, according to this story, that Jesus can be trusted with your need. Jesus can be trusted with your need in life. If you'll go to him and believe him by faith, trust him, God will save your soul. He'll work in your life. He can change circumstances that you and I never thought we could. But he can do that. That is what our faith in him can do for us today. I wonder, from the testimony of a lady to the Samaritans who thought they were nothing, to a nobleman who thought he had everything, but he had a sick son and he had a need. I wonder today, there's a need in your life that the Lord can answer. He's there. Go to him. Put your faith and your trust in him today. Let's bow our heads this morning.